Really glad to have this opportunity. So stick with me. If you need to give me signals, like to your mouth or whatever.
I'm Brian.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You guys know us. I'm Becky. So this is kind of my deal. Brian's here, and he's wearing the big man mic, but... But this is kind of my heart. Tim asked me to share a few weeks ago, and I said, "You're nuts. You're absolutely crazy. I'm not sharing in front of everyone like this. This is crazy." That's what my mind said, and that's not what came out of my mouth, unfortunately. And he, you know, he had a bunch of questions that he would want me to answer or whatever. And I said, "You know what? If you want my story, this guy is a big part of it, and I can't really share without him." So I coerced him into coming along. And what we have to share is, it's not a sermon. A lot of it's scripted. It's not a testimony exactly. It is my story. It is Brian's story, and it's our story together. You're hearing me okay still?
Yeah.
Okay. And I'll stop shaking after a while, I'm sure. It's our story, and it's going to be expressed in the way that who I am expresses things best. I'm not a public speaker, but God's given me a gift to write things in a way that is my heart on paper, you know. So a lot of it's written. It's pulled from some of my writings from way back, from last week, so all the way through. Some of it is like word-for-word conversations Brian and I have had over the years. There's a few songs in there. We're going to kind of like give ourselves a water break, and Brian has chosen a couple of music videos. I guess that's going to work. If not, then we move on. But there are songs that have meant something to us and kind of describe where we were at certain points in our life. And then there's scriptures that we're going to read that have been treasures to us and still are. So that's kind of what we're sharing. It's going to be a mix of different things. You're going to have to kind of stick with us. I want you to listen carefully as you can to what I'm saying. I'm hoping my voice will be clear, because it's my heart, and I want you to hear it. And I trust you to be gentle with it. I don't, not read a lot of this to a lot of people. I've not shared a lot of this to a lot of people. In fact, before we came, well, my dad, who is at our house on the sofa with a twisted ankle right now, is not here, but I had to sit down with him and say, "You know what? I don't even know if you know this about me, and I don't want you to find out in church." So, you know, some of it's just, it's not details, but you're gonna learn stuff about us that not a lot of people know. But it's part of our journey. It's part of the testimony of what God's done in us. It's out of my treasure box. So take it as that. Follow it as you can. And here we go. Oh, and a lot of it's kind of written in, what do you call that, third person. Okay, so we're going to be talking about a boy and a girl. That's us. That's us. It's us. It's kind of easier to write about those people because that was where we came from. That's who we were. And we're going to end this as us, speaking in first person, being here and sharing right now what God's doing in us. Mm-hmm. So here we go. There once was a girl. Not a big girl. She's not so little. She's just medium, ordinary, in the middle. Her imagination is so big, and her fears to match. Mommy's gone for good now. Oh, and Daddy is so sad. Is he gonna stay? I don't know. He did, by the way. He stayed, and he's been my rock. Knees on the floor, at the bedside. Sisters and daddy sleep. Jesus, come into my heart. So she begins to walk a road. She finds friends, but not really. She finds love, but it's a controlling and killing love. And that little girl looks big now, but the fears are pushed down. There are seeds of truth there, too. There's another night. The world is asleep. Her knees are on the floor, not by choice this time. The violent hand that holds her neck is not nearly as destructive as the voice inside that says, "I deserve this." But then, the miracle that has never stopped unfolding till this very day, just a glance at her king, and that voice inside begins to change. "Who are you? Who the hell are you?" That's what I was hearing. It changes. It's changing. "I am his." "No, you can't. No, you can't do that. No, no, no. I was made for this." Her prayer started, "God, save me. You're my only hope." And he was. Truly he was at that moment. And as she walked, her prayer became, "Break me. Drown me. Teach me to breathe you. Let the waves of your sovereignty carry me." In that time, this scripture carried me. This is part of it. Psalm 139, 7 to 16. "Where can I go to escape your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I climb up to heaven, there you are. If I lie down in hell, you are there. If I fly away with the wings of the dawn and land beyond the sea, even there your hand would lead me. Your right hand would hold me fast. If I say, let the darkness surround me, let the light be night around me, even darkness like this is not too dark for you. Rather, night is as clear as day. Darkness and light are the same to you. For you fashioned my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I thank you because I am awesomely made, wonderfully. Your works are wonders. I know this very well. My bones were not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw me as an embryo. But in your book, all my days were already written. My days had been shaped before any of them existed."
And there also was a boy, the son of a carpenter and a homemaker. Father modeled faithfulness, taught attention to detail. Mother modeled devotion, steadfastness, grace. Her illness came young and swiftly. Little did the boy know how it changed everything, shaped everything. He grew creative and curious. He often would feel like an onlooker, observing a world he wanted to fit in. To see the boy, he was rather ordinary. He had it all right on the outside. No one knew the darkness that swirled inside. A creative curiosity mixed with loneliness and hurt can lead one to angry, dark places. But there was always a witness to truth that surrounded him, constantly challenging the lies that he lived out inside. People speaking things that he didn't want to believe, but also was not able to turn away from. The confrontation came at 16 years, 362 days.
Attention to detail.
January 9th, 1991, if you're really curious. It had been building for some time now. If you're also curious, this was in the old gym at GMS. Trying to hold on to himself, endure again. But there it was. Blessed is the man. He is like a tree. The wicked are not so. They will not stand in the judgment, for the Lord knows. It was different this time. What would he choose? I knew that that day was the point I had to choose. Shaking, not knowing if it would change the inside, but desperately hoping it would. Confessing the darkness, freedom comes, and joy. But then hunger. There has to be more than just the ordinary with a little Bible thrown in. And so the journey begins. Ohio, Israel, Mexico. And in the journey, a Savior is revealed who is real, near, and transformational. He changes everything. The Savior calls the boy's real name and speaks the affirmation the boy has longed his whole life to hear. He is known now, and he will follow. Psalm 15 are my life verses. A psalm of David. Adonai, who can rest in your tent? Who can live on your holy mountain? Those who live a blameless life, who behave uprightly and speak truth from their hearts, and keep their tongues from slander, who never do harm or seek to discredit others, who look with scorn on the vile, but honor those who fear Adonai, who hold to an oath no matter the cost, who refuse usury when they lend money and refuse a bribe to damage the innocent. Those who do these things will never be moved.
So they meet, this boy and this girl. Now the girl was still broken, but there's a fire burning inside, a desire to know and worship the Savior that pulled her out of the pit.
And the boy, constant and pursuing, his yes, Lord, like a pillar, and his send me known to all.
To her, the voice of truth says, this is the one. To the voice of truth, she says, no.
It was
yeah,
true.
It happened.
You're beautiful.
Yeah, not really.
I want to know you.
You're not going to like what you find.
I'll love you anyway.
Your idealism is going to wear off.
I want to be with you forever.
My destiny is brokenness and divorce and depression.
He goes.
She repents. Lord, if you'll bring him back. And he does.
And she says yes. The calling. Now these two together hit the road. And the calling takes them to Texas, Mexico, China, and then back to Delaware. The calling pours them out on broken, homeless, searching hearts, fugitive saints, the least and the greatest, family and strangers. The calling fills their life with kindred spirits and forever friends, purpose, and perseverance.
And there was an agreement made before this union was ever made. However, the call to fulfill that agreement came a little sooner than we expected. Honor your father and mother. From the beginning of her journey with Jesus, there was a longing to see faithfulness in the valley, to find out what joy lies on the other side of pressing through hard times. Before the move back to Delaware, there came a deep, dark grief, a spiritual groaning that just wasn't understood by the mind, and a shadow of what obedience would require. Who knew that the valley would be so low? Or the promise so solid?
The boy's reprieve from the requirements of home was over. With a torn but expectant heart, he said, "Yes, Lord," again. And in the name of their second son comes a reminder, Caleb, someone who walks with a different spirit. Yes, there are giants, but the land is good, and the Lord is giving it to us. So the drive, 2,000 miles, Aiden is in the back seat, Caleb is in the belly, to the unknown, to our promised land. Here's a prayer song from Rich Mullins that has meant a lot to us.
Well, sometimes my life just don't make sense at all. When the mountains look so big, on my faith just seems so small. So hold me, Jesus, 'cause I'm shaking like a leaf. You have been king of my glory. Won't you be my Prince of Peace? And I wake up in the night and feel the dark. It's so hard inside my soul. I swear there must be blisters on my heart. So hold me, Jesus, 'cause I'm shaking like a leaf. You have been king of my glory. Won't you be my Prince of Peace? Surrender don't come natural to me. I'd rather fight you for something I don't really want. Take what you give that I need. And I've beat my head against so many walls. Now I'm falling down, I'm falling on my knees. And the Salvation Army band is playing this hymn, and your grace rings out so deep, it makes my resistance seem so thin. So hold me, Jesus, 'cause I'm shaking like a leaf. You have been king of my glory. Won't you be my Prince of Peace? I'm singing, hold me, Jesus, 'cause I'm shaking like a leaf. You have been king of my glory. Won't you be my Prince of Peace? You have been king of my glory. Won't you be my Prince of Peace?
Remember that prayer when you have a hard day. The journey. So the boy's idealism did wear off. Turns out he does need kingdom strength daily to walk out the calling. The pillar still stands, though. His heart still cries, "Yes, Lord." And the "send me." For now, the yes means walking with his parents on another challenging leg of their journey. Leading his wife, keeping her tethered when she reverts to what she calls the oscillating world of womanhood. Guiding his boys in truth. His send for now is to a business that requires bucket loads of faith sometimes. To an employee who might just get to know a living and loving God through this sojourner. To a fellowship of believers who are called to change their world.
And it turns out that girl was not destined for brokenness and divorce and depression. She was destined to rise to the challenge and then fall on his grace and rise again and to be poured out like a drink offering and to be filled and to be poured out again and to be filled, filled, useful in the kingdom and loved. The compass was set for her at the bedside as a child, on the floor with death threats flying, in the yes, Lord, with the delay forgiven. And now she sings on those good days and recites to herself on the dark days, I am blessed. I am blessed to serve a woman who has loved and served her God and her family with every ounce of strength in her crippled body. I am blessed to honor a man who has honored his wife through trials I will never understand. I'm blessed to be mommy to three handsome, healthy boys. I'm blessed to be desired by my husband and please him. And I'm blessed to desire him and find him pleasing. I'm blessed to have a Savior who holds my hand and patiently walks me through the darkest of days and dances with me in the raining sunshine, I like to call it. Hebrews 11. Trusting is being confident of what we hope for, convinced about things we don't see. It was for this scripture attested the merit of the old people, the people of old. And without trusting, it is impossible to be well-pleasing to God, because whoever approaches him must trust that he does exist and that he becomes a rewarder of those who seek him out.
Here's another prayer song by Gunger.
Do I have time to say something? Just turn it down a little. Just turn it down a little. That's fine. This song I remember when we moved back. It was our whole family heart song. Even the boys will walk around singing it, and it's about how we walked through the first few years being here and how we walked.
Water on the sand, but grasping at the wind, I keep on falling short. Please be my strength. Please be my strength, 'cause I don't have any more. I don't have any. For a place where I can plant my faith, one thing I know for sure, that I cannot create it and I cannot sustain it. It's your love that's keeping me. Please be my strength. Please be my strength, 'cause I don't have. Final breath, I hope that I can say I fought the good fight of faith. I pray your glory shine in this doubting heart of mine, and all would know that you are my strength, that you are my strength, you and you alone, keep bringing me back home. Oh, you are my strength, you are my strength, you and you alone, keep bringing me back home. It's you and
I'm so impatient. That's hard to wait through the whole song. I didn't realize it would be that way. So for the king, this is, here we are. That boy and that girl, but not really. We're being made one, and we're being made new. I still struggle to see my true identity.
I still struggle to trust when I don't see practical results. I get too busy and forget to sit with my king.
I yell at my boys and I act selfishly towards my husband. And there are a lot of days when I wish for an easier road to walk.
I'm guilty of placing my expectations on others and wish for a break from all of those demands.
I still resist that pouring out. And even the filling up sometimes.
So on those days I say, love, hold on to the truth.
And remember the promise. Really, it comes down to this. The strength comes in the glance to our Savior. And the power to walk out the impossible starts with that yes, Lord.
The words have been given and the promise spoken. We are not who we were before. This is the place where trust is lived out. And now this is for you, our fellowship. These verses precede Hebrews 11. Hebrews 10, 35 to 39. So don't throw away that courage of yours, which carries with it such a great reward. For you need to hold out, so that by having done what God wills, you will receive what he has promised. For there is so little time. The one coming will indeed come. He will not delay. But the person who is righteous will live his life by trusting. And if he shrinks back, I, God, will not be pleased with him. However, we are not that kind who shrink back and are destroyed. On the contrary, we keep trusting and thus preserve our lives. And after thinking about this for this week, this is what poured out at about 7:15 a.m. this morning. We have shared with you about our faith journey. Each of you has one too. Some of you, you're further along on yours than we are. Some of you are exactly in the same place, walking it out. And some of you want to give up. You're saying it's too hard. And some of you have yet to begin yours. Don't shrink back. Take courage, because there is hope in a faith journey. Part of the reward in being obedient is hearing your Savior, your King, and knowing his pleasure and affirmation spoken over you. If you keep turning away toward him, even when your reality states something otherwise, you will be filled with new strength when you have no more. He doesn't call you to something that you can do on your own. If you hear God's voice say something to you and it seems like you can do it, you might want to go back and talk to God about that one again. He calls you to something that you can only do with him. Just like the cloud of witnesses that has gone before us, this is his story inside of ours. He's aiming at something that we cannot see just yet. But the scriptures are packed full of clues, stories that show us his heart, his faithfulness, his provision, his unshakable character, and his promises. Gateway Fellowship has a faith journey to walk out. We are not who we were before, and we are not yet where we know we're called to be. We find ourselves somewhere in between, a place of testing, a place where we need to walk out what we do not see. There were prophecies spoken over us and declarations have been made. We have experienced his presence in transformational ways, and yet some things may not be what we thought they would be. Just remember, our King cannot leave us in the state we are in when he shows us the dream of his heart. Just like Abraham, Joseph, Moses, Joshua, Gideon, Elijah, Elisha, David, the disciples, Paul, and others, he must reshape us to walk out his promise. We are going to be tested. That's a word that Brian Connolly brought us back in December. We're entering a season of trial. We are being reformed. We do not yet see what we will be, but he does. He has a plan. Our part is to daily, corporately, put our hand into his, and then one foot in the front of the other, walk. What has he shown us? Then we need to do it. What has he spoken? Then we need to respond. Faith is walking in even when we don't see everything clearly, but know who has spoken. Put your hand to what burns on your heart, the thing that compels you, and don't look back. The reward will come, but first, we must persevere.
I think this is the right time for it. I put it in here, but I'm just going to read it. A while back, there was something that God put on my heart. It's very rarely these days I have a chance to actually sit down and write anything. Usually it's while I'm washing dishes, it's in my head, and then it's down the drain. I mean, kind of literally, but there's so much required of me right now. I don't have easy access to paper and pen most of the time. But I wrote this one down while I put it in my phone. And I go back to this often, and I suspected that this was something that God wanted me to share with, especially the women in the fellowship. And so I thought, you know what, I'm going to be up front. This is my chance, I think. So take it or leave it, but please take it. Be watchful, women of faith. The enemy would love to ruin you. It's not time for reasoning. Just run to the wing shadow, dine with your king, be strengthened for battle. Emotions will be what they are, loud in your ears. Instead, hear truth. Gorge yourself on the truth from the mouth of your king, and you will overcome. Because this is what you're made for.
We kind of felt it was fitting to do a corporate response this morning. And so Austin's going to come up and lead us in the song, Walk in the Promise. I think it's just fitting to declare together that our souls wait in silence and rested in quiet for you. And we're waiting for him to fill this house. We're waiting for him to shake things. And we're looking for him to do this. So if you will stand, we're going to pray this one together. And if you feel like you want to respond, then the altar's open.